Hello, friend. Welcome. Now, while we are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, our content really strives to bring you wisdom, insights, trends, and support to maintain your options, tactics, and success. Now, in this highly recommended episode with Phil Carpenter and Phil Christensen, learn how these number twos know their roles with their owners as they are charged with growing their respective companies.
I would say be bolder. Don't shy back when you know the right thing to do. You know what you need to say. You know those difficult conversations. Don't hesitate to have them.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome, Carm Capriato, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Hey, thanks for listening and your ongoing encouragement to bring you trending and innovative aftermarket podcasts. Hey, here's an important message from NAPA. Due to the rapidly evolving situation related to the coronavirus, COVID-19, including health and safety risks and travel bans for almost every attendee, NAPA has taken precautionary steps and postponed the NAPA Expo. We do expect to reschedule the event for a later date, and we'll provide new dates as soon as possible. Now, rest assured, Team NAPA is as energized and invested as ever in NAPA Expo, and we look forward to hosting you at a later date. Here's an important note. We've done many podcasts and Carmcasts on the COVID-19 pandemic, and I've put them all and collected them all in one place, in one section on my website's homepage at remarkableresults.biz. Please check it out. There's a lot there to help you understand your current and long-range challenges, and we continue to bring you new ones. In this episode recorded at the ASA Colorado member event, I'm with Phil Carpenter, Director of Operations at Urban Auto Care, and Phil Christensen, President of BG Automotive. Now, they show how effective leadership can impact and free the owners that they work for from day-to-day duties and responsibilities. In turn, this leadership can help owners in the aftermarket focus on the business strategy and grasp ideas to innovate and bring the business to the next level. There are a lot of challenges that are mentioned, discussed, and dissected in this episode to unburden most shop owners who carry a heavy load within the business. If the CEO is considering finding their number two, you'll get a great feel on the responsibilities and role that Phil Carpenter and Phil Christensen provide. Find this episode's talking points, which make a great meeting agenda, and links to our guests' previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E527. Hey, our guest today has some amazing advice. Don't hesitate from what you need to do. Speak your mind and follow your gut. A warm welcome to Phil Carpenter and Phil Christensen. We're at Lincoln Tech again at the ASA Colorado Summit. And I've got a really great opportunity for the listener to hear from two key leaders of shops here in the Denver area. Phil Carpenter is Director of Ops at Urban and Avalon Automotive here in Denver. Hello. Say hello, Phil.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, Phil. And Phil Christensen is with us, who's the president of BG Automotive in Fort Collins.
Howdy.
How you doing, man?
Good.
So you guys work for two really great guys. Phil Christensen works for Brian Gossel, and Phil Carpenter works for Brian Sump. I know you guys all know each other. In fact, I've talked to both of them, and they say, we have the two Phils. They both have Phil, and then their last name is C. Yep. They're very much great guys, very similar, but they perform unbelievable roles in our companies, as I've had a chance to talk to both of them separately. And, you know, they both gave me the idea to have you guys together because your missions are almost identical in their companies and how they're growing. So they've had the luxury or the smarts one day to say, listen, I've got to assume that CEO role after being techs and, you know, doing all those things and getting to the point where their business needs a key leader like you guys. Now, here's the deal. What I really want to know about is a little bit about your roles, what you love about what you do, the challenges that you see every day, and what we can teach the industry. And similar guys in the jobs that you have, maybe something they didn't know about and something they can learn from each of you, but what your challenges are every day and how you help grow the company.
Sure.
And what you relegate your CEO to do. I mean, they want you to do everything, but you still want to go in the office and do this, right? Do you ever say that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
because they get in your stuff. What do they come in and want to do?
So I call it Brian Gossel's shotgun. He comes out with a million different ideas, and I guess that's the role of the visionary, is to come in there. Our role, the Phil's role, would be more to rifle different ideas and really dial in to where the company can continue to move in a positive direction without getting too scrambled.
So basically somebody comes to you, one of the guys comes to you and says, I got this great idea. I've been reading about it. I attended a webinar. I went training. Maybe we should ying instead of yang.
Sure.
And what happens in that meeting? I mean, do you start putting your, you know, your tactical hat on and start thinking of how we can do this before you ever make the decision?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely, if that's, are you referring to that as an employee's bringing that idea to you?
Employee, or how about your CEO? Hey,
sure.
Hey guys, Phil, I think we should do this. You say, whoa, wait a minute, whoa. And do you stop and see if it works, if it fits, if it's right?
I think for me, we always have to discuss it. Try to poke holes in it, not in a negative way, but like that person needs to be heard. Whether that's an employee, especially, they need to be heard. They feel like their opinion is valued. Make sure you truly understand what they're trying to say, what they're trying to accomplish, why they're trying to accomplish it. And if you don't have a good way to defend that, then why not try it? If you're saying, this is my process, I want you to do that. If you're coming to them saying, do this process, don't ask why, you're not going to get very far.
Right.
If you explain the why behind it and they can buy into it and then they want to do it, that's great. But if they are challenging the way we're doing a process and you cannot defend it, then your process is probably not right. And why not try what they're suggesting?
Okay, so here the scenario is beautiful. Somebody comes to you and you find no reasons not to try.
Sure.
Are you obligated then to go to Brian and say, I want to do this? Or do you have full trust and autonomy to do it?
I have trust and autonomy to do it. I mean, if it was something super major, I would get him in on the loop, ideas. But
you're hired to do this stuff. Right. You're hired to tweak and improve and constantly update. Right?
And the questions that you want to ask yourself along with your team is, does it benefit our guest?
Yeah.
Does it benefit the company?
Yeah.
And does it benefit our internal staff?
Yeah, the team.
You know, and if those three positives lay out, absolutely, then as a team, we're going to put together an idea and a process.
So, okay, now there's the key word right there. I mean, you're not going to do it alone.
Absolutely not. Because you got to have, as Phil was saying, you got to have complete buy-in.
Buy-in from every place.
Yeah.
And then implement, because this was your idea, Joe. And so, you know, we've pretty much outlined it. Let's do this and assess, constantly take a look and see if it's working. Mm-hmm. And then take, you know, feedback from the field, and then you get a win. It's working. You tweak it and you get a win.
Yep.
Does this kind of constant tweaking in the process and the system side, is this consume like 80% of your day?
Or more, from the infancy of whatever we're putting into process? Obviously, I can speak for myself, and I know Phil does this as well. We'll be the ship leader, crank on it until it is in place and we've got all the bugs worked out. And then from there is probably delegated to one of our other leadership teams, so then we can continue on with new ideas, new growth in the company, or implementing into another store. If we're just starting out with one, say our flagship store, before we present it to our other locations, or vice versa, if it is in one of our other locations and we bring it back to our flagship store. So,
How often are you communicating with your people?
Constantly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But give me some structure here. I mean, is there a conference call? Is there a meeting? I mean, give me an idea of what and I don't want you to go Monday through Friday, but what do you do to stay close?
So the core, obviously, I spend a lot of time throughout each one of our locations, but as a core, each one of our stores has an individual shop meeting every Wednesday morning where they're discussing internal issues at that particular location, or if something's come up in the company, we'll address that along with safety and stuff. On Thursdays, that we do a digital sales meeting. So each location is on a camera, similar to what we have going on right now, to where that builds camaraderie. We can talk about issues. We can also talk about new ideas that we are bringing down the pipeline to start planting the seed for getting buy-in or asking for help. Because again, we can come up with a great idea. You know, they're in the grind every day, so they would know the best way to roll something out.
In the grind. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things that help us with the communication is each location is having a morning huddle, 3 to 5 minutes, managers leading it. That can be anything from we have so many cars per day. We have a couple of waiters. Was there a problem car yesterday? How did that result? So-and-so is off, whatever. Yeah. So constant communication there. And then things come up in that morning huddle that would then lead to if there's something that's happening frequently, like a technician's getting frustrated about a certain issue repeatedly, then that would warrant
how do we correct that?
Yeah, how do we correct that? Not in that meeting, because you that needs to be short and quick.
Absolutely. Everybody, it just gives you the idea.
Right.
Do you guys ever show up at those meetings?
Yeah
unannounced?
Yeah, I know I do.
Yeah, I mean, I pop anytime I'm there. If it's happening, I'll jump in.
And it depends on what we have going on at each location. So, and I try to spread my time, because it is sometimes, again, when you're in the same four walls every day, you know, you might be missing something. So having that outside eyes come in and look and bring new light and just a different perspective for when we talk about a leadership role and how Phil and I have grown through our companies, we've got a little bit different perspective on each role because we've been in each role. Yeah. And so that helps out our team for sure.
Yeah. Have you ever had to back down and performed a job or a task because you were shorthanded?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you learn tons from that move? Do you have a chance to test what's working?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet. We were joking today. We've been making some improvements at one of our locations. I've had the opportunity to be back into a sales role.
All right.
It's kind of neat hearing some of our guests' answers and asking them some trigger questions that maybe our staff typically wouldn't, but from a higher level that you're really looking for out of the consumer, that helps build kind of the location itself. And it's fun to get back in those roles to make sure, are we asking too much?
Right.
You know, we talked about that. Is it doable or are we asking too much? Because sometimes, and we just learned this today, you know, leading from the sidelines without being on the field sometimes can be challenging because you can kind of throw too much at your team. So
how do you prevent that, guys? What do you do? Do you try to assimilate the extra workload that you're putting on people?
We did hire an extra service advisor, and that was working great. When somebody was out, they would fill that role until we added another location. Now we don't have an extra advisor anymore.
Those are good problems.
Yeah. Those are good problems. That always be hiring, problem. Right, Phil?
You're always, always recruiting. But no, I think it definitely helps just remind you that, you've been in that role before, especially a service advisor. You've been in that role before, but just stepping back in there, even for a day here and there, just reminds you like, hey, this is what these guys go through on a daily basis. That just helps you be a better leader. You understand where they're coming from.
Empathy.
Absolutely.
It is, it's a whole different mindset for sure when you are in there and dealing with emotions. So,
hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want, things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook type calendar so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your Napa Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the Auto Care program has to offer.
Guys, your greatest challenges that you have going on right now, based on, you know, the state of, you know, here we are in the winter. I don't know if car count, ARO, what's important to you guys, the challenges you may have, you know, working with your CEO and your team. Each of you probably sees things that you have to work on.
Sure. Personally and with the business, I know our biggest thing right now is making sure that we're spending time and doing proper interviews and really introducing our culture to people early on to make sure it's a great fit before we do make a hire.
Got it. So the attitude's got to be there. They've got to believe in the culture. If not, you're making a bad hire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got it. People dynamics inside the company, just stellar. Do you ever have people challenges?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I knew the answer to that, yes. By the way.
As long as there's people there, there'll be people challenges.
Well, and hopefully every organization out there right now is doing personality evaluations, so you know how to stage your people.
That's where I was going.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we, some technicians are very methodical and like to take their time, and some guys are also very methodical and crank, and you talk about the bird test and the eagles and the doves and you wouldn't want two aggressors next to each other, because that's going to create a lot of tears. So that's always good in placement, and learning how to set up your location on the sales side of it or on the production side of it. So
yeah, absolutely. Talking more about like, what do we do to help out the owner is, you're freeing up the day-to-day stuff so that they can be that visionary, that they can have that pie-in-the-sky ideas. They can be out doing recruiting, being involved in the community, all that kind of stuff, where if they were involved in a lot of the day-to-day, they would get really distracted with that.
Well, it's easy to get lost in the day-to-day,
right?
And picking and choosing your important battles and which ones to delegate. So, yeah. I know our vision for BG Automotive is 5 locations by 2025. Phil's kicking our butt in that one, so Phil and Brian. But Brian and I we're coming for you. But with that gives the opportunity for the visionary to continue to look at real estate and our growth as we're continuing to monitor KPIs like you talked about, AROs and everything like that. So
is that a big, very, very big part of what you're doing? Are you letting that up to Brian?
That's a team effort, to be honest with you. My role is definitely to make sure that it's happening, yep, and having those maybe uncomfortable conversations or celebration conversations. Perfect. I mean, our team is amazing. We do a lot of attaboys. We have a lot of fun with that. So you got to watch that.
Yeah. Are they getting their numbers every day? And no matter good or bad, are you making the call?
Yeah, the numbers, we picked a point of sale shopware that is showing them those numbers every day. And like you said, it's a team effort. So if I'm having to sit there and micromanage every single number, I'll lose my mind, especially with 4 locations.
Well, then you just have the wrong people in place, right?
Right. You got each advisor and each manager is managing theirs. Yes, we are ultimately accountable for the overall outcome, but each one of those individuals is making up the team effort to make sure that we get what we need.
I have a broad question. It's maybe the wrong question to ask, but I want to ask it anyway. How long did it take to get the great leaders you have in your stores? Has it been, oh my God, we think we had it and then we didn't? Or have you guys been so lucky on the right hires or the right upgrades? There was an internal candidate that I'd love to know how that whole staffing at the management level at the stores is working for you guys.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Sure. Really all over the map. Some people were working in the business that we acquired and were willing to go through all the changes that we made, all the processes and all the point of sale and all that kind of stuff that's changed, but still willing to go through all of that and go through our own management training. We typically do a 12-month, 1-on-1 coaching with each manager But as far as like how quickly they get there, I mean, we've seen it happen in a couple of months, even though they're still kind of going through the training process with us, they're still kind of already there. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it take longer than that. We've seen it where we start into that training program, trying to get them to the next level, and they like clam up and then quit. But that let us know that that wasn't the right person. So it was a good thing.
Where we really started winning with our staffing, and not to say that we didn't win before, but where we adapted a better way was probably 3 years ago, where we started doing goal setting. And similar to what Phil is saying, you know, you set out and each person does their own personal goals, and we push them towards that level, and, you know, they'll make it if they are ready for that, because anybody can say that they want to be a store manager. Right. So we've definitely grown our own at our first location, at our Webster location. We've even hired technicians with their own personal goals, saying, hey, I don't want to be a technician for my whole life. I want to adapt into maybe being on the sales side of it. So what we've done is we've cross-trained and slowly worked into that. And we just had one of our master Audi technicians become a salesman for us. And that was his goal. And now we're setting new goals for him in different levels of, you know, once it was a production level and now it's a sales level, which is fun. We've also hired some great people out of the industry, and of course we've definitely hired some great people that just probably weren't the best fit for our culture, and we understand that, and we hope that they continue on and they're successful, you know, just didn't jive with us at the time. So yes, we've definitely had our challenges there, and the appropriate conversations come down the pipeline.
Performance reviews, there's not enough people doing them. Is this constitution in your company?
For me, it's an ongoing thing. If something's coming up, you address it before it becomes like this big nasty conversation.
So you're talking about a perpetual level of performance reviews.
Yeah.
But your role would have to be, I'm not going to ignore something I need to talk to this guy about. Because a lot of times we think it'll get better and it won't, which is why we stopped to do performance reviews to talk about an entire damn year. How did you remember that? Right? Oh, my God.
If you don't address it, you're validating it. So
that's right.
Why wait for a review to give that feedback?
Constant reviews. Mm-hmm. Ever offer them a chance to review you?
It's a two-way conversation. I mean, we value that feedback. We send out surveys once a month. We send out a survey that's like a team feedback, team and manager feedback form. Okay. That one is anonymous, so they can fill it
out.
And be a lot more free with that. And then we send the opposite month, we'll send out one that's a personal kind of reflection. Mm-hmm. And it goes over some of those results from like the Gallup did a poll of like engaged employees. So I modeled the questions based off of that to try to see your level of engagement. And that helps us a ton to find issues. Like maybe you ask that person a number of times, hey, how you doing? Are you doing all right? Yeah, I'm good. But then you see something on that form and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? And you go talk to them and you address it before it's some bigger issue or it goes on and on. And then you find out somebody's putting in their notice.
Performance reviews, Phil.
So it is ongoing. Like Phil's talking about, you know,
nothing formal in the company.
We're always just having conversations.
Okay.
And performance reviews come down daily. I mean, our sales team know where their production side is, and obviously it's a performance-based pay, so they know their personal goal, and we're going to push them so they hit their goals. Everybody's got a dream board. We're shooting for those, so we kind of know how. Do we address problems right off the bat? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those are documented, just so it's not a negative thing. It's just so we have it in writing, so we know what to continue to address, so it doesn't happen with our other teammates.
Yeah.
So
you just said dream board. So is it a personal dream board?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And do you know everyone's personal dream board?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, I probably know bits and pieces of each.
Okay. If somebody wanted to buy a new Harley, do they put a picture on their toolbox so they can see it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we do something similar as well. And we do have, once a year, we do take each employee out to lunch. But it's really a lot more of like not giving them feedback, but like, hey, how do you think you're doing? How are we doing for you? Where do you see yourself in the next year? How do you think your last year went? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? That kind of thing. And it goes into personals, like if they're wanting to share. Right.
And how are you going to push the company? And,
right.
And, you know, obviously with growth, and I know these guys are very similar to us. I mean, our mission for multi locations is to create new growth. So right. we want our guys to be out of their comfort zone so they can continue to grow.
Yeah.
And have new rules.
Right.
So
right. Yeah, it gives them a platform where it's, I always tell them, like, don't, because you say, like, oh, we're going to go do your annual meeting or annual review. And it's natural to think, oh, no, what am I going to hear in there? I always tell them, if you hear something that we've telling you, for, like, negative feedback to you in one of those that you've never heard before, we've failed you as leadership. You should have already heard this numerous times. So by the time we get to those reviews, it's generally a very positive meeting.
Absolutely, which it should be.
I've heard the word training from you guys. Can you crystallize that a little bit? I mean, you said our own corporate training. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Is that the process systems? But are you also finding leadership training? Are you taking guys to conferences? Give me an idea of how you're rounding that out.
We have our key leaders in our organization all in 20 groups. So they're talking with other peers. Phil and I are in a 20 group together. I mean, I know our Bryans are in 20 groups. That helps out. Just so they have other organizations to reach out to, bounce ideas. You know, we really go off the mantra, you know, high tide lifts all ships. So, and we're doing that as an organization. So, and then onboarding in our company, I onboard all of our sales team, and just so they know what our, you know, mission, vision, purpose, you know, our culture, what our beliefs are, our values, our fundamentals of the company, just so everybody's kind of on board of the same thing. And then we do cross training throughout each company. I mean, we'll switch guys around just so we just make sure that we have some, you know, everything's uniformed in our organization. So,
yeah. Brian Sump leads a lot of the training, especially with the sales staff. I follow it up with, okay, Brian, what did you go over with them? What is the focus this week? And then I can follow up with seeing what's actually happening at the counter. And then anytime we acquire a shop, I'm going into that new shop to house myself there and put most of my time and efforts and energy into that new location, trying to shift the culture, shift all the processes to where it needs to be. And then Brian and I kind of tag team with the rest of the training, because it's, You can do a 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, whatever you want with somebody, but it's that constant feedback to somebody right when they finish that phone call. Hey, how did you think you did on that? And then just talk it out with them. Or you're recording your phone calls. We'll find the phone call, tie that up with the repair ticket, and put those all together. And you can say, okay, here's all the documentation that we had. Here's all the work that you had to present. Here's your phone call. Play it for them privately. So, I mean, it's hard to hear yourself. It's the hardest thing, but it's very, very powerful when you hear that.
And celebrate the wins as.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we let them, like, pause the tape. Okay, what do you think you could have done there? Or they just, you can let them give their feedback first before you start beating them up. And it's hard to get through, but every single one of them, I promise you, would tell you it's helped them immensely to be able to hear themselves on the phone.
Phil Christensen, what would you look back 15 years ago and tell your younger self?
Make the unpopular decision sooner. You know, we've definitely hindered our growth. And not to say it's a bad thing, but sometimes we're selfish and we continue to hold people or just not get through the tough things. So early on, I wish I would have made some more unpopular decisions right off the bat, because we end up making them anyways to move forward. That would be one piece of advice that I would have told myself.
Yeah. Same question to you, Phil Carpenter.
I would have said, be bolder. Don't shy back when you know the right thing to do. You know what you need to say. You know those difficult conversations. Don't hesitate to have them. You have what you need in your head. Get it out there. Speak your mind.
I really think you did justice to the audience. I think they're going to learn a lot from this. Thank you so much. Phil Carpenter, Director of Ops, Urban Automotive Avalon in Denver, and Phil Christensen, President, BG Automotive, Fort Collins. Your two, Brian and Brian, are so, I mean, isn't this cool? Brian and Brian, Phil and Phil.
Yeah,
it's wild.
It's off the charts. Uh-huh. They're really lucky to have you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.